At the outset of Megillas Eicha, Parak Aleph Pasuk Beis, Bocho Sivka Balayla, the emphatic Kfeilus Haloshon, Bocho Sivka Balayla Yerushalayim, surely cried, and not Sustama cry, but an emphatic cry, Bocho Sivka, the Kfeilus Haloshon is Megala, that this was a very serious continuing cry, V'demasa Alechya, and the cry continued, Akadekach, the tears were visible on the cheeks, Ein Lom, and Akadekach, nobody was there to comfort the city of Yerushalayim. Rashi explains why the double loshon, the kfeilus loshon bocho sivke, shtei bechias al shtei churbanon. We have two cryings, an act of crying for churban bayis rishon, and likewise an act of crying over churban bayis sheni. But again, that's a reference to the crying, not our crying. It's a reference to the crying of Yerushalayim Eir HaKodesh. Mikdash Melech Ir Melucha, Kumi Tzimetach Afecha, reference the Mepharshim explained to Yerushalayim, Rav Lach Sheves Peimek Habocha, Yerushalayim is there in the Valley of Tears, but we haven't yet encountered on the pages, on the Psukim, on Megillas Eicha, our own personal crying. When do we approach that? Perak Aleph, fast forwarding to Pasuk Tezayin, we've enumerated tzora after tzora, tragedy after tragedy that has befallen the city of Yerushalayim and all of Klai Yisrael. Mela, you put it all together and laments Yirmiya al Eila and Ibochia, all of the aforementioned, the above mentioned ideas, it's putting that all together. And that's why I cry, Eini, Eini, Yerdamayim. What's Eini, Eini? Rashi says over here, the emphatic tone, the double terminology of ayin plus ayin is kolomers of to say tom and eina yordamayim, kofal aloshim, alami chena fugas, there are no rests, no pauses. My eye is continuously running with water. It's mamish yorid, it's aloshim yorida, it's cascading forth, tears after tears. Why? Ki rochok, many menachem eishim nashi. I don't have my menachem. I don't have my comforter. Yishalmi and Brochas, we know that Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. According to one opinion, the Gemara and Chelek Sanhedrin Tzanichas and Beis, is that Mashiach's name, in fact, is Menachem. The Gro writes a beautiful remez here in his Perush Megillas Eicha. When the Gemara and Sanhedrin says we have a Machlekes, what's the name? Mashmo Shemashiach. So the Beis Shiloh says, Shiloh Shemo. Everyone's going to say, it's all me. And the Beis Rabbi Yalai says, Yinun Shemo. And the Beis Rabbi Chanina says, Chanina Shemo. What's going on? What type of guy is this? Mashiach is going to be named after me. Ella, what? Every single Yid is capable of bringing Mashiach. Every Yid is capable. Ela Bela, Dilakim Chayim. We too are all capable of creating the Zenitza to Mashiach in every single generation. So everyone says, it's going to be me. V'yesh Omrim. Now we don't have somebody Menachem, but there's a Yesh Omrim. Menachem and Chizkiya Shemo. Sezok the Gron, it appears in the Likutim Kol of the Yom Masechah Sanhedrin. It's put here in the Bir Gron Echa. V'yesh Shlomo de Becholhan Yashemus de Pligo de Haine Menachem. That in fact is Rosh Tevis Mashiach. Mashiach, Mem, Shin, Yud, Ches. Mem is Menachem, right there at the beginning. The Shin will be Shiloh, the Yud is Yinun, and the Ches is Chanina. It's already subtly alluded to in the very name Mashiach, but the idea is we together will create that ultimate Menachem, the ultimate comforter in Mashiach ben David. Hakoponim, we see that we're the ones crying, our eyes are shedding the tears. We mentioned in the past, we wrote about it as well, the Mnei Yisrael Tzvi Elamel Shapira Medinov. He writes in his Mamorim on Choche, Thomas and Av, and Maimra Aleph and Ozdalid, Eini, Eini, Yordamayim, we know, Api, the Arizal, and the Kute Torah Parshas Bo, that the 12 months of the year correspond to the 12 Evorim Shibarosh, to the 12 organs that we have on our heads, and the month of Thomas corresponds to the Ayin Hayimonis, the right eye, the month of Av to the Ayin Hasmalis, to the left eye. What happened in the months of Thomas and Av? Shivas of Thomas, the Yemei Metzorim, Korot Fes, Yigoa Bein Metzorim, and Aleph Gimel wrote Fe, he said, go made him at Sarim Zakrashi in the Yomim between Shivas and Thomas and Tishvav. So what happened? Everyone was chasing after us and we cried. The tears started in the month of Thomas, they continued in the month of Av. Ayin plus Ayin. The Ayin HaYamanis began to shed tears. The Ayin HaSmolis began to shed tears. Rav Avram ben Agro in his Saris Eliyo, he writes, what's the double ocean? Eini, Eini? It's not Stam, the right eye, the left eye. It's that our eyes shed tears. Mitzad the Gashmi is to get destruction. And our eyes shed tears likewise for the Ruchni is to get destruction. The Golus that we were now going to endure, the long and bitter exile. and this Gaulus, the Golus Hashchina, that's why we're crying twice, one for the Ruchni and one for the Gashmi. Eini Yordamai. So we're shedding a lot of tears. Our eyes are continuously spewing forth tear after tear, and yet Posek Tezayin comes immediately on the heels of the famous Posek Tezvav. Sila kol abirai Adonai bekirbi korolai moed lishpor bachurai gas dorach Adonai lepsulas pas Yehuda. Korolai moed. It's called the moed. Tishvav is called moed. Here we have it in Mefurish Posek Tezvav and Perak Alva Megillas Eicha. It is called the moed. So what's pshat that it's going to be called the moed? And it's only in the heels of calling it the moed, only then do we finally mention for the first time in the holy pages of Eicha, we want to know, Aleila Nibokhiya, Eini Eini Yerdamayim. I don't understand, I just got through saying it's a moed. It's a happy time, it's a Gemali Gemayim. And now, Badavka, now you want to tell me Aleila Menichiya, then you want to talk a few psikim later. You want to call it a moed, I understand, but immediately after, you just told me it's a moed. You just had a pause in the action. You said, yeah, we're witnessing tzara after tzara, calamity after calamity, tragedy after tragedy, and all of this said, you should know it's still a moed. Oh, and now, by the way, Alein and Machia, I can't stop crying. My eyes run continuously with water. Say, give me that posik irmiah. Either give it to me before you call it a moed, or give it to me several psukim later. But mamish, look at the juxtaposition. You just called it a moed, and right now, Alein and Machia, what's up, shot? Stamazoi. To call it a moed, the saddest day of the year? How can we call the saddest day of the year a moed? Explains the Shlo HaKadosh and Chelek Tosh Masav and Parshas Bolok. Avada, the Iker Nakuda is that we're naming it a moed al Shem Ha'asid. And the future of Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to go and turn this into the greatest of all the festivals, the greatest of all the Moadim. Mela, we have the Yerushalmi and Brachos again. Mashiach born on Tishvav, the Psichta Nechrabasi, Menachem Mishim Nashi. When is he going to come and comfort us? Tavka on the night of Tishvav. It's going to turn into the greatest day. This is the harbinger of Achrus Hayomim, the birth of Mashiach Ben David, and that takes place with Tavka Tishvav. It's going to turn into our greatest festival. It's the month not just of Av, being Mekalba the Yisurin of Shema Bini Musar Avicha, but it's going to turn into a month ultimately of Menachem Av. When he gives us the greatest comfort, this will turn into the happiest time in the world. Zakhtar Shlok, it's Al Shem Ha'asid. Now, clearly that doesn't suffice. If it's Al Shem Ha'asid, then why would we read of the following halachas? We have halacha, Erev Tishvav, Orchayim, Simon Tov Kuf Nun Beis, the very last Sif, Sif Yud Beis, Zakhtar Machaber, he writes, Ein Omrim Techino Erev Tishvav, B'mincha, we don't say Techinus, we don't say Tachnon on Erev Tishvav b'shas mincha mishum deikri moed, because it's called the moed. So you don't say tachanun. If imu Shabbos, and if Tishvav coincides to Shabbos, ain't over tzidkos tzedek, based on the Mariel, we don't say tzidkos. So we see nafkaminas practical applications la'alacha, that since we're calling it a moed, we don't say tachanun erev Tishvav. Not only do we not say tachanun erev Tishvav, but let's fast forward to Simon Tov Kuf Nun Tassan Archaim Sivdalid, and again, the Machaber now is talking about Tishvav day itself. And he writes, ain't over tachanun, Velo slichos, based on Agos Hashri, on Teshuvah, they know from our playim. Why Mishum Dimikri Moen? And he's even giving us the reason. There's no Tachanun, there are no slichos, and we don't have any vidui, we don't have Nefilas Apayim on Teshuvah day itself, because it's called the Moen. It's called the Moen. And what's going on over here? If it's just the Shlach Kodesh, that it's only called the Moen, Hashem Hasid, then it wouldn't effect any practical applications. La'alacha b'zvarino, tell me Makar, where is there precedent? And that since something in the future is going to be called the moed, that gives it applications ladina right now, that we don't say slichas, we don't say tachanun, we don't say it on Erev Tishvav, we don't say it on Tishvav itself, because in the future we don't work like that in halacha. Parashah Rosham, let's look at the now, let's look at the current moments, and the current moments, if it's not called the moed, then it wouldn't patter us up. Elohat afilu lefi das ha-shlo kodesh, you have to say, you have no choice. That even though the shlo is telling us, Iker, it's called a moed, al shema asid, but kuli amimodi, that if it resulted in actual halachos lamaisa nowadays in patering us up from tachanun, from the filas apayim, from slichus, then bakocha tzarch lomar, that it has a shema moed even right now. So, if we were entering the discussion from a psychological perspective, we could say, well, let's look at the word moed. A moed itself is Loshan Beizvan L'Chachamim. It's an assembly, it's a time that we gather. Why are the regolim called moedim? Because the Iker Mitzvah, Zokt Ramban and Parshas Kisisa of the moedim is Aliyah L'Regel. And what's Aliyah L'Regel all about? It's all about Klai Yisrael getting together Ba'achdus Gemura La'alos Liros V'Liros Pnei Hashchina. We all get together. Akere Kach, we mentioned in the past Rabbeinu Machai. And Parshas Mishpatim quotes a Medrash that Aliyah L'Regel demands that you have to go on foot. Why? You can't go in your wagon. This guy doesn't go in his SUV, and this one in his Lexus and his Rolls Royce. Not in this fancy wagon. Everybody goes together. Why? Because Zot Ramein Machai, it's all about the Achdus Gemura. We want Klai Yisrael walking on foot. It's not merely a Hashem Mitzvah, it's a Hascholos Mitzvah itself. Even though we mentioned the Piskei Tshuva brings down, there's a Tshuva by the Maharet Zchias and the Chalek Aleph Siman Zayin that argues on Ramein Machai and argues on his understanding of the Medrash, but the Pashas, we have one of the Gedolim Rishonim, Aliyah L'Regel is everybody together in the streets. That's the Moed, that's the Sholosh Regalim. They're defined as Moedim, it's when Klai Yisrael gets together, he makes Vadat's an assembly. And we know that Soros bring people together. Tragedies, Rachman and Litzlan bring Jews together. Jews unite in the wake of tragedies. It's an excellent bestseller, we'll read it off the table. But if you read the New York Times bestseller Sway by two secular Israeli Jews, not yet from, Ori and Ram Brafman. So Sway was an excellent book about the variables that determine our decision-making process. And their latest bestseller that just came out a few months ago is called Click. And it's all about the magnet that brings people together. And so one chapter they describe about how people, research has been done, that you can grow up with many friends. But if you went to war, whether it was the Vietnam War or the Korean War, those with whom you fought together in combat, even if you never met them beforehand in your life, and even if you spent 20 years with a high school, with an elementary high school college buddy, but the people that you put your life on the line for, the people that you go to battle, when you're in a danger, no atheists in the foxholes, that's when you unite with other people like never before. The experience of men facing life or death situations together created unbreakable bonds. In other words, it didn't matter what type of person went into combat. Simply the fact that they faced combat together made the soldiers' bond stronger. It is one of the most emotionally charged experiences imaginable. And thus, they write, based on numerous research and articles that have been published, enduring adversity together creates an intense shared emotional experience. It reduces the emotional barriers we naturally put up to safeguard ourselves and creates a sense of camaraderie among those of us who have gone through the process together. So clearly suffering brings us together, and that's a shaykh to the same moed. We come together in suffering. But again, if it's merely a psychological perspective, you're saying Klai Yisrael got together. We got together because of suffering. It doesn't affect halacha l'maisa dinim. It's not the same moed halacha l'maisa that's going to exempt the sotachanan. So what's the simchas yontif shabo? What's the happiness of a moed that says you can't say tachanan? And you can't say slichas or duvido nefilas apayim. You can't do things that highlight the sense that it's a day of mourning, a sense of avelus, because it's also a day of simcha. What's going on here? Writes the Shemi Shmuel, Pashas Devarim, quoting his Chosh of a father, Davni Nezer. It's based on the following idea. What do you mean Tisha B'Av is a moed? It's a happy time. What's happy about it? Writes the Machaber in the beginning of Siman Tov Kuf Nun Hei. Noah gim shalol laniach tefillin b'tishvav shachris v'lo talis. The minig is, men do not don the tefillin in the morning. They don't put on the talis gadol. El aloshim talis gadol. Tachis begodim below bracha. But what happens come mincha time? But mincha, menichem tzitzis u tefillin u mevorchem aleim. Comes mincha tishvav, we put on the tzitzis, the tefillin, we make the bracha. What changed by mincha? Zog the Mishnah Bura, I'll pee the Yaduatik of Vilna Gon. Uber Mincha, Sha'az Hitzisu Eish B'Mikdash. You know when they really lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire? In the afternoon on Tisha B'Av day. So once you lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire, V'tam Avonech B'Moshe Shofach HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Chamasu B'Eitzim Avonim Nekro, I'll pee the Medrash on the Pasuk, V'tam Avonech, that our sins were now came to a conclusion, they reached an end, Hashem took out, he vented his anger, Kaviyocha, not on us, but rather on the Eitzim and Avonim that comprise the Binyan Abayis, the Mela, now that the Beis HaMikdash is burning, now we can say it's a happy time, put the Tefillin back on, the Tefillin, the Pe'er, we got our crown back on, the Beis HaMikdash is gone, it's all over. This is what we're happy about. We want to now show the nechama on this. What's the nechama? What's the mohe?
It's gone.
It's over and done with. This is the worst. This is the highlight of the tragedy. We don't have a base of Mikdash anymore. Ella what? This is, writes the Shem Yishmuel, the Hesorus that happens year after year, come Tisha B'Av time. Hashem said, instead of venting my anger on the Yidden of Klal Yisrael, I'm going to be Shofech, my Af and Chemo, instead on the Eitzim and Avonim that make up the Beis HaMikdash. And what is that all about? Not simply saving our lives. It's very good you saved our life. So saving our lives, we're happy that our lives, but to call it a Moed, what's up, Shat? It's not simply that our lives were spared and therefore it's a Moed, explains the Shem Yishmuel. It's a Pshat, Ham Avonech, based on the Medrash, it's a Pshat that this now concluded the cleansing process, the purging process. It was the Mechilas Avonos. And the collected Tzichos of Rav Chaim Brim Zatzal, he says, you know what the Iker Simcha Mechos and Mechala is all about? The greatest Simcha, the world of Simcha Mechos and Mechala. What's the great Simcha all about? Yes, the Maralas and Arichos, it's the two halves and Hashemah uniting once more, the synthesis, the fusion of two Neshamas to Chelke and Neshamah that belong together to form one cohesive unit. But no, right? So Chaim Brim, in addition to that, is what? It's the day of Yom Kippur for them. Yom Kippur for the Chos and Kala, the Yishalmi, Bikurim, Paragibel, Lachagibel, Chos and Mekala, and Mechalal, and Kovan Hashem. They get forgiven for all their sins, explains to Chaim Brim. That's the Iker Nekudas HaSimcha by Chos and Mekala. To give and forgiven for all of your Averus. When you're forgiven for all of your sins, that's what engenders the greatest feeling of Simcha. In fact, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter used to say that by Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, how do you know if you had a good Yom Kippur davening? If you feel great when Ne'ilah reaches its conclusion, and you feel like a massive burden, a massive load has been lifted up off of your shoulders, that's a siman min hashamayim, writes Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that your tshuva was accepted. It's the greatest feeling, no more Jewish guilt, and no more shame, I'm a free man, you feel mamash free, after Ne'ilah, you're free, it's a gavaldi yisimcha, not just a simcha, think about it, that, oh, Yom Kippur over, I get to eat now, I made it through the Yom Narom, the Iker Nekudas HaSimcha is, I'm forgiven, I have a clean slate, I'm ready to start all over again. That's the Simcha of Yom Kippur, that's the Iker Simcha Chosan Akala, the Mechilas Avonos. That's the Iker Nekuda. And that's the idea of the Mishnah, Tainus Chavavam and Beis, Loha Yom Tov Yisrael Ketuba Ava Kiyom Kippurim. Fast forwarding to the Gemara at the bottom of the Aflama Namad Beis Masechas Tainis, Bishlomi Yom Kippurim, I understand why it was the greatest Yom Tov. Why? Because it was Yom Slicha Mechila, Yom Shenis and Lucha Shnius. We got the Luchas, great. And you know what's mentioned even before that? It's the Yom Slicha Mechila. That's why it's the greatest Yom Tov. Because we give it, And the greatest Yom Tov for Chos and Akala, their Bechina of Yom Kippur, is when they likewise get forgiven. All their sins are atoned for, it's expiated for. The Chosin accepts the yoke of going into marriage, or Chulei gets a clean slate, he's ready to start all over again. Mechilas Avonos, that's the Simcha. So Sok the Shem Yishmuel. It's not simply that, oh, now our lives were spared. So what do we have? What do we have now? The Shechin is going into Golos. We're going into Golos. We don't have a Mokum Avoda. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. The Pre-Chodesh asked the question. When it comes to Sfiras Omer, Yevom HaSamach Beis HaMed Beis. We know that we observe Dine Avelis throughout the duration of Sfiras Omer, because it's the period of Pesach and Atzeres, the Meisibol Tamidi Rebbe Akiva. So asks the Pre-Chodesh, what's the whole lineage of the celebration that we have? Lag Maimer, Shabbo Kolo Mesa, they stopped dying in Lag Maimer. So we're going to say, what are you celebrating? They're gone. They're dead. We don't have anybody. So now everybody stopped dying. So everyone stopped dying. So now there's nobody left. We just lost 24,000 Taminim. It's time to really start mourning and lamenting the tragic loss. Instead, what do? Let's celebrate. Let's dance in the streets. Let's drink a little bit of wine. Let's celebrate. What are we celebrating? We just lost 24,000 Taminim. Ella what? The Indian is that granted we lost those Taminim, but we're now ready to start all over again. Through the death of the 24,000 Taminim, now the lo nagu kovod zelazeh was masuka and was rectified, was perfected. It's not pshat that simply, oh, there are 5 taminim left alive. It's that 5 taminim are left alive to start the whole new phase where already our sins were forgiven. Hashem took the kapara and now we have a clean slate. That aspect to Mechilas Avonos that produces the shame moed. It's dafka the saddest day of the year that can be called the moed, because this day meant that Hashem now cleansed us, purged us of all wrongdoing, of all sins, of all chatam and avonos. And Mamela comes to represent an aspect of Mechilas Avonos. Hashem could have taken it out on us. Instead, he takes it out on the Eitzim and the Avonim. Mamela, we understand a lot of ideas that are quite perplexing comes to Shavuot. First of all, Megillas Eicha itself asks The Yismach Moshe brings down that he saw the same kasha as Rav Yonasan Eifetz in the Yaros Davash. How could it be that Yirmiyah wrote a sefer al pi nevuah? Gemara says Meforish and Shamas Daflam and Abedbeis Ein Hashchina Shaira El Mito Simcha Lo Mitach Atzvus. You can't be sad and depressed and be zeicha Tashros Hashchina. So how could a Novi pen such a word called Megillas Eicha al pi ruach HaKadosh al pi nevuah when you can't have the Hashros Hashchina Mitach Atzvus? So how do you understand such an idea? Ella what? Hagufa. This wasn't just an Atzvus. There was a Simcha. What was the Simcha? Hashem was Shoyfech Chamoso, anitzim of only spirit our lives. But like the Shemesh, what wasn't simply the spirit of our lives? So what did he spirit our lives? What do we have left? It turns out we have a lot left because only now we're ready to rebuild. Now, Tam of Onech, our sins have been atoned for, have been expiated for. It's not simply instead of killing us, Hashem killed the Beis HaMikdash, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, anitzim of Onech, it's that Derech destroying the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, we lost our most valuable possession. We lost the proximity to Hashem's Hashchina, but now we're ready to start and rebuild. Why? Because now our Avonah, we have a clean slate, we're ready to start all over again. Mamela, there is a simcha of Megillas Eicha. And thus we have the question as well, why in the world would Yirmiyah end the five prakim? Why would he end Megillas Eicha with a pasuk in Eicha base? Kiim ma'os me'astanu katzav talinu an ma'od. If Hashem, he was disgusted with us. He got extremely angry with us. This is how we answer. Yes, the Yerushalmi asked the question. We know we're always supposed to end with the Devar Tov. The Mashal says in the end of Sukkot and Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara added something completely extra to let you know. Tov l'tzadik, Tov l'shcheino. We want you to end on a good note, on a good message. Explains the Mashal, because the same way we want to end every parasha, every Maset and Shas, you always want to finish on a good note. So Yerushalmi says, why do we have the minute to repeat the pasuk? Hashemino Hashem alecha, v'nashu v'chalishim ekekenem. Why do we repeat it? Because we don't want to end Megillas Eicha with a sad pasuk. So very good, that's why we have the minute, but it's only a minute ba'alma. But Halamaisa, Yirmiyah didn't say, by the way, let me repeat this pasuk. We repeat it to end on a Devar Tov. But what was Yirmiyah thinking? Yirmiyah ended on Kiyam Os Mastan. So what's the pshat? The pshat is Hagufa. You know that Hashem got angry with us and he was disgusted with us. But instead of killing us, he killed the Beis HaMikdash and all that it represented, and he destroyed the Kalim, and the building was razed and it was destroyed. And he was disgusted with us. But look what happened. Instead of killing us, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And now what? And now we have a clean slate and now we're ready to rebuild and now we're ready to start all over again. But I am ending on a good note. Since Lamaisa, it's not the best of notes, we want to say no, we still have to do Tshuva. Yeah, we have a clean slate. It's a clean. It's time to start all over again. We still have to go back. We have to return. We have to now build on that. But Yirmiyah was talking ending on a good note. There is a good note to highlight the fact that Hashem got so angry with us. And the Mela, Silachol Abirai, Hashem, you destroyed all our strong-hearted ones. But Mamela, Karolai Moe, Lishbar Bachura, you were destroyed, and still I call it a Moe. That's what makes it a Moe. Mamela, Aleila Nibachia, only now am I ready to cry. Now I'm going to cry, and now I'm going to shed tears. But when am I going to cry? I'm only going to cry after I establish the fact that you should know that it's a Moe. Aye, but is this the best way that I wanted the Moe to come about? I know that it's a Moe. It's a Moe. Why? Because you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash instead of destroying us. And Mamela, you highlighted a Mechilas Avonos. But is this the Moe that I wanted? This is what I'm looking forward to. Aleila Nibuchi, I look back at the tragedies. This is the way Hashem had to make a Moed. The best Moed would have been that our lives were spared and the Beis HaMikdash and all the Kalim, everything else would have been spared. But now that I highlight a Kalma, only now am I going to say, Aleila Nibuchi, Eini Ini or Demayim. Now I'm going to cry and I'm going to shed all those tears. This explains how Simcha Wasserman. This is the Kavan and the Medrash Tanchuma. It's also bought in the Das HaKenim Bali Yataisis. The following Medrash. Parshas Kisavo. We say, Baruch Ata Ba'ir, Baruch Ata Ba'asod. We're blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the city, and we're blessing him in the open field. The last shtickle in Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Kisavo is Pilei Ploy. Dover Acher, what's Baruch Ata Ba'ir a reference to? Zo Yerushalayim Shenikra Seir? Brings a pasuk in Eicha based Hezvav, Hazo Seir Sheyomer Klilas Yofi. So Baruch Ata Ba'ir, blessed is Hashem, but we're blessing Yerushalayim. And what's blessing Hashem Basadeh? Zo Tzion. This is a reference to Tzion. Also Yerushalayim, it's really the inner city of Yerushalayim. Shneamar, what's the pasuk? The Medrash site, Yirmiyah Chavav Yerches, Tzion Sada Techaresh. See, on the city of Yerushalayim was plowed like a field. This is Baruch Ata Basod. Hashem, I'm blessing you. What am I blessing you for? Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You plowed my city of Tzion. You destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You razed the building. You destroyed utterly Harabayis Gevaldik. I'm going to thank you not only for building the city of Yerushalayim, but for destroying the city of Tzion and making it like a plowed field. What's going on here? I understand. La'os Lavo. The Gemara in the ninth Perek of Brachos. Nowadays, we make a tova meitav on hearing good news and a dynamis on hearing bad news. La'os alava, we're going to see that everything is good. We're going to make a tova meitav on everything. That's la'os alava. But halach l'maisa, if somebody, Rachman al-Salam, loses a loved one, can you halach l'maisa say, oh, baruch atol meitav, it's all good, you can't do that. That's, you're doing the wrong thing. It's a baruch l'matol. You have to say dynamis because we go with perspective of hova, of currently, of the now, the present. So what do you mean, baruch atah b'sadeh? I understand in the future it's going to be good, like the shalom. In the future it'll be a moed. But right now, how can you bless Hashem for making a plowed city of Yerushalayim? A similar note to the Shem Yishmuel. Simcha Wasserman explained as follows. His father, Rav Achanan, we know, returned to Europe and was killed with Talmidei Slobodka and Talmidei Kovno. And a few days before Rav Achanan Zatzal was taken out to be killed by the Germans, Yimach Shemam B'Zichrom, he gathered his close Talmidim and he told them the following. You're looking around at all these tzaras, all the tragedies, all the innocent children and people being killed, and you're wondering what's going on, how do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, let me give you a mashal ma davar doma. Says you have a person who knows nothing about farming, nothing about agriculture. He had no shaykhus to an agrarian society whatsoever. And he comes to visit a long lost relative who happens to be a farmer. And he goes to the farmer and all of a sudden he goes out into the pastures, the acres, the vast open green acres of the relative. And he says, wow, what beautiful fields have. He says, yeah, come with me. And all of a sudden he takes out the plows and he starts destroying, starts ripping up the field. Then he says, what are you, Meshuggah? You have this gorgeous grass and all this pretty field, and now you're destroying it? He says, just wait, to have a little savlanas, wait a little bit, be patient. What does he do? He brings out beautiful looking seeds, and he says, watch this, and he takes the seeds, puts them into the ground, and he buries them in the ground. He says, what are you doing? These are good seeds. You can eat them. Many people eat gari nambu. You can eat the seeds. You're putting them in the ground, and then you're covering all your berry, putting the seeds into Geniza. What are you doing? He says, just wait, a little bit savlanas. Goes ahead, waits a little bit, a few months go by, he's staying for a while by his relative, and all of a sudden, the wheat stalks begin to come up, the kernels of grain sprout forth, and they burst into these beautiful looking wheat. So goes up, he says, oh, I thought the field was beautiful before, but now I see I was wrong. This is even more beautiful, green and beautiful wheat stalks all over the place, it looks so pretty. He says, yeah, watch this, and he takes out the sickle, and he starts harvesting, he starts cutting, he says, what are you doing? You're destroying this beautiful field again. He says, just wait, just have a little bit of savlanas, a little bit of patience. And he takes the wheat stalks, and what does he do? He puts them into a machine, and they're destroying the wheat stalks in the sifting process. He says, what do you do? You have these beautiful, if you're not going to leave it in a beautiful field, at least keep these wheat stalks and use them as decorative items in your house. What do? You're destroying the wheat stalks. And then he gets the seed. He says, Sablonis, be patient. And he takes these seeds, and what does he do? Puts them in another machine and continues to sift it. He says, you're destroying the seed now. And then finally he goes ahead, and he takes the dough, and he forms the dough. He says, oh, what a nice, soft, pudgy dough. This is great. You know what? Maybe we'll go ahead and take a little piece of this dough. And then what does he do? He takes the dough and he puts the dough in an oven. Are you a meshuggah? This great-looking dough after all the destruction you did, and now you're putting the dough in an oven. What are you doing? He says, just wait. And a little while goes by and a great smelling geshmak achala comes out. Zotra v'chona. We're looking around at the world. And Hashem is doing what? Zion, Soda Techarish. He's plowing the field of Yerushalayim. He's destroying the ghettos. He's destroying the yeshivas of Europe. And then right when we think, oh, there's a little bit of respite, a little bit of a reprieve, what does he do? And then he brings in more tragedy and more calamities. And now people are being rounded up and they're being cut down and they're being shot. And ultimately what? They're being sent to the gas chambers. And after being knocked down repeatedly, finally they get what? They get put into the ovens. And you say, Ribbono Shel Olam, what's going on? There's destruction after destruction. But Zot Rabbanan, we don't see the end result. If we would know the kapara, if we would know what it's doing for God's Klai Yisrael, if we would know the atonement for all our virus that all this is achieving, and the beautiful challah of Klai Yisrael that's going to be produced as the upshot of all this apparent tragedy and calamity, just wait until one day when you get to Achras Hayomim, you're going to see that it was all bashir, that it was all good, it was all meant to produce the ultimate metzias of the Amma Nivchar, of the Amma Segula. That's the mashal. And that's how Simcha Wasserman explained this medrash. Zion is going to be plowed. Because when you plow, you destroy something, but you know ultimately it's going to be for the best. Remember reading, it's a cute, we have to lighten up a little bit. It was a cute joke in a Reader's Digest, the best of laughter. Laughter is the best medicine, page 161. They bring down a cute joke. I think it was from the Arizona Gazette, that there was a man, an inmate in jail. Here he was incarcerated in jail, and he gets a letter from his wife, and he knows that everything is censored, that the censors are looking all the mail that goes back and forth in jail. And his wife says, "Honey, I need to know, how do I plant the potatoes? I got this garden. I don't know." She doesn't know the first thing about gardening. And he would go out and sustain the family by planting outside. She says, "Honey, how do I plant the potatoes?" So he sends a letter back, "Honey, don't touch the ground. Don't do anything in the backyard, because that's where I hid all of my guns." So what happens? All of a sudden, he gets a letter a few days later. "Honey, I gotta tell you, the censors, they got hold of your letter. And six FBI agents, they came down to the backyard and they dug up every square inch. They dug up the whole backyard." He goes, "Honey, now plant the potatoes." You think it's all destruction. We're destroying the field, we're destroying the ground. But the act of destruction is to produce the great upshot in the end. And that, of course, is the well-known Gemara, the Enamakas. Many Hasidus is far right, and the very Masechta that highlights Makos. You're getting smacked, you're getting smitten, you're getting hit. And how do we close? What's the last line of Kaholech Basra Chasima? The last line of the Masechta that talks about Makos is Akiva Nichamtano, Akiva Nichamtano. Rabbi Akiva is the one who produces the ultimate Nechama. So what happens? And Rosh Hashanah Chafei Ben Aleph also, he was the one who was Menachem Rabbi Akiva, was Menachem Rabbi Yeshua, Rosh Hashanah Chafei, Akiva Nechamtani, Akiva Nechamtani, he's always the one doing a Nechama. Here it is, the last line of Makkos, the double Nechama. Explains the Masha for the two stories that transpired in the Makkos. There was one Nechama for story number one, one Nechama for story number two. Well, the last story, of course, he's walking with his colleagues and they see the Shualim Hochamo, they see the foxes. We mentioned the Chidah many times. Shualim is also Yeshmoel. When Yeshmoel is on Har Bayis, you know the Gula is right around the corner. But Rabbi Akiva says, "I'm laughing, I'm being Metzachik." What do you mean he's laughing? How's a Chayach he's laughing? Tarot says, "What? You know why I'm laughing? Because I see the ultimate destruction." Explains Rabbi Akiva. Says, we have a Nevuah by Oria, Nevuah by Zechariah. V'chima inyan, Oria eats a Zechariah. Oria is Mikdash Rishon. Chaim Mikdash Sheni. Ela Tola Kos and Nevuah. So she's Chaim Rosh Shal Oria. The Nevuah of Zechariah is contingent on the fulfillment of the Nevuah, the prophecy of Oria. Oria is talking about Tzion Tzoda Techoresh, and Zechariah is Odiyeshu. The kingdom is going to be Rechavos Yerushalayim. We're going to sit and the Rechavos. We're going to Shmuz. So our Klaisos is going to be together. Everyone's going to get along. Peace, Gevaldik. So Rabbi Akiva says, until the fulfillment of Uri Haisi Mashiach, I was afraid. Shalot the sky and the I was afraid it wasn't going to be fulfilled. Rabbi Akiva, the Tana Eloki, is afraid if a Novi says something, Ivan, it's going to be true. How could Rabbi Akiva say, Haisi Mashiach, I was afraid. Shalot the sky, until I saw the fulfillment, I was, maybe the Nevoah Zechariah was going to be, how could Ivan, he knew that Zechariah's Nevoah is going to be fulfilled. But we know that what? The way Hashem works is, Koheles Zayin Yedalet Zelu Mazal Salokit. In accordance with the level of tragedy and destruction, that's how great the Gola Amiti is going to be. I didn't understand what it really means. How great is it going to be? I need to see the ultimate sense of destruction. As long as there's some remnant, there's some last hope or something to latch onto, then I haven't reached the nadir, I haven't reached the abyss, the total bottom. I haven't hit rock bottom. Once I see that, it's not only that we lost the Beis HaMikdash, if we lost the Beis HaMikdash, but the ground wouldn't have been plowed up, then there's still what? There's still something. I still look at the ground and say, maybe there was a Beis HaMikdash here one day. But once you destroy the ground, once you plow the city of Yerushalayim, then I know I reached the ultimate bottom. What was the Pasuk, the minister of Chumah Bor, the Enek Kisavo? This very Pasuk, the Nevuah of Oria Tzion Tzadet Echoresh, which means we didn't just lose the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem took the city of Yerushalayim. And why? If you're destroying a Beis HaMikdash, so destroy a Beis HaMikdash, take away all the Kalim and burn down the building. But you have to plow the whole field. You have to destroy any remnant, you have to go. What is Yishmael doing? Yishmael, Osio Shualim, it's not enough that they say there's no Beis HaMikdash here and we're going to build our ridiculous looking mosque. What do they do? They say there never was a Beis HaMikdash. We're going to do archaeological digs under the ground, and we're going to destroy any last room, and we're going to plow the ground underneath. That's Mamash Disgemara. We're going to plow the whole thing as if nothing ever happened. We're going to destroy the whole city. Now you've hit the Mamash rock bottom. Now that I see we hit rock bottom, now I know the Nevuah of Zechariah is going to be Mamash Gevaldik, because it's always Zel Umazeh. Now I know it's going to be something Mamash special. That's the ultimate Nechama. But we have to ask a question. Asks the Marshal, the Rechaner, what do you mean Rabbi Akiva was laughing? Halakha l'maisa, if you see the city of Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash in ruins, you mechayiv to tear kriya, you have to rend your garments. Zok the Marshal, avada he rent the garments. He did. He tore his garments. Ella what? In addition to tearing his garments and to being noeg dini avelus, at the same time, he was laughing. He was laughing. Because at the same time, if I see that the lowly foxes are going lefnai v'lefnim into the Holy of Holies, and I see the true fulfillment of the Nevuah of Tzion Tzadeh Techoresh, now I know the Gula is right around the corner. Explains the Maral in Chedushei Agados, the Shoresh, Ches Lamin Lamin means what? Chalal is a corpse, Chalal is a vacuum, a space, an open, empty space, and Chalal is the identical etymology that forms the word Techila, a new beginning. Explains Maral, why do they all share the identical Shoresh? Because the only way you could start anew, you can have a clean slate, is once you got to the concept of what? I've hit the rock bottom. When you've gotten into an empty space, an empty space means I destroyed the Kalim, I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, I destroyed the remnant, the lowly foxes are coming here. It's Mamash Chalal. You look at Habayis, it's an empty space. And you look at a mace, only when a person's dead, do you call him a Chalal? Is he a corpse? Because only when a person dies, can they then begin a new Tachila, can they then enter and commence a new phase called Olam Haba, the afterlife? They can only go on to the next world once they die. Once they finish in Hidrak Badim, when they become a Chalal, that itself engenders the possibility that they could have a new Tachila, a new sense of beginning. When you have a complete empty void, a full open space, total utter desolation and devastation, Zakta Mara, when you reach the Chalal, Harabai is this empty void of any last vestige, any last remnant of what used to stand there, only now can you have a new Tachila, can you now begin anew? And that's the idea of this Gemara, the Anamakas. That's the ultimate Nechama. In the Makas itself, I see the Nechama. As I'm getting hit, and I'm getting hit harder and harder and harder, I see what? It's Mamash Nechama. Kiva Nechamtanu, Kiva Nechamtanu. I can only have a new Tachila, a new beginning, once I see the tragedy. Mamela Tzdafka Rabbi Akiva. That's what he was. Rabbi Akiva taught us how we can be happy and sad at the same time. And that's, I think, the underlying principle in the juxtaposition of Korolai Moita Alila Nibuchia. It's not the stira. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, when he saw the wife of Turnus Rufus, Rok Sochach Ubacha, simultaneously expressing three disparate emotions. He spat because he saw that this wife, the guy, the shiksa, Ashes Turnus Rufus, came Bitipus Rucha, and he laughed because he saw that she was going to become a Gioras, and he was going to marry her. And then he cried at the same time, Al Hai Shufud the Boli Bafra and her exquisite beauty, that she was going to die and be buried in the dirt. So I understand, what do you see for Rabbi Akiva? Was Davka the one capable of expressing more than one emotion simultaneously? And this takes us to a beautiful vart. I've said it over last year at the pulpit. And my dear Sabbat Joe, all of us Sholem used to say this vart all the time. And the name of the Telzerov. Telzerov said, I don't understand the Gemara Megillah, the bottom of the Afyun Amad Beis, the parallel Sugyan Sanhedrin Lamatas Amad Beis. The Gemara says, Masa Yadei Tevamaya, Bikshim Loche Sharis Lamashira, the angels wanted to sing praises, and by also an Az Yosher Maisha, they wanted Az Yosher, Maloche Sharis, and our Kodesh Baruch responds, Masa Yadei Tevamaya, Va'atam Reutzim Lamashira, you want to say Shira? You can't say Shira, you can't, you want to smile and laugh, and Ma'apolosin Shorisham, you don't do that. But follow me, Chatismach. So what's going on with Klaus all then? Ask the Telzerov. If you're not supposed to sing Shira because of the downfall of your enemies, then what gave us the green light? What empowered us to be able to break out of Shira? Why not the same Taina? Explain the Telzerov. Malachi Asharis only do one Tafkin. They only have one job. And the same way they only have one job, they can only express one emotion at any given moment in time. So if the angels would break out in song, in unbridled, unfettered Shira, then all they would be doing is thinking, experiencing, and manifesting a Rikshe Simcha. And that can't be, because you can't only experience Simcha because in light of the downfall of your enemies. Mashenk and Klai Yisrael, a Yid is capable of experiencing more than one emotion simultaneously. The Mela, at the same time that we're rejoicing, we're also feeling the pain. That Ayve Masayada Tomayam. We see the pain that God is losing acts of His creation. He's losing the Mitzvah, and they too were down with the Tzelem Elokus. Pasuk in Noach Tasei Betzelokim or Asam, and they too with Tzelem Elokim. So at the same time that we're mourning the loss and lamenting, yes, God lost His precious creations, we're also happy. Hey, this is great. Our enemies have a downfall. It's not a stira. Who's the one to teach us that? Who's the one person in the 2711 folio pages of Shas who Shas highlights that this Yid was capable of not just two emotions, but three emotions simultaneously? Rabbi Akiva, Rok Socha Gobacha. So the Phoenix, that's what's going on in the Anamachus. Like the Moshe says, did he have to tear Korea? Abadi he tore Korea, just like his Chaverim. He had to go ahead and see the Shualim. Alchemoni tore Halak Lamaisi. He rent his garments. But he's laughing at the same time, and it's not a steamer. The same Rabbi Akiva, who knew how to cry, Rok Socha Gobacha, Navonazor Dachav. He knew how to spit and how to laugh and how to cry at the same moment of time. It's the same Rabbi Akiva that's doing it over here, too. He's laughing and crying at the same time. The other said, no, it's a time for crying. It's not just a time for crying. It's a time for crying and laughing, because the very same reason we're crying is the very same reason why we should be laughing. And like the Shemi Shmuel, the idea is what? Not just we lost everything in sight, but now that it reached this status, it's an abyss, it's a hollow gomer, it's utter desolation, and we have nothing left. Now we can have a new tachila, we can have a new beginning. Yes, we cry when there's a corpse, we cry when we lose a mace, a loved one. And at the same time that we cry, don't we also think, now this person's going to be in a better place in Gan Eden Shamayla? Yes, we shed tears, and we're mechoyev to shed tears and to rend our garments, and goof at the same time, especially those who are enduring pain in their final years, now they're in a better place, they're in Gan Eden Shamayla, and it's not a stira. We have both of those irrigation simultaneously. Any coincidence, therefore, that Rabbi Akiva is the one in the Mishnah, and the end of Yuma, Peheyam and Beis, Yom Kippur is a time of what? Yom Kippur, we're standing, we're frozen in trepidation, and we're just mamish consumed with Yira. It's the pachad of the din, it's the culmination of the Yom Naroim, the days of awe, and comes along Rabbi Akiva. Ashrechem, Amo Rabbi Akiva, Ashrechem, Yisrael, Afriyam, Tamitam, we're so fortunate, we're so lucky. Mi Matar Eschem, Avicha, Shishraim, Hashem is Matar. What does it mean, Matar? Matar means to purify, to cleanse, to purge us of all impurities. Notice that whenever you feel the pain and the fear, but it's coming from Avinu Shishraim, who loves us, and He's doing what? He's plowing us. We're getting destroyed, we're getting purged of all impurities, of all our imperfections, our iniquities and wrongdoing, and it's a cleansing process. Ashrechem Yisrael, who's the only one to pick up on that? Nobody else? No other Tana before Akira. Tell me, by the way, Yom Kippur's a great Zach? Yom Kippur's a great gift? It's Dafka Rabbi Akiva says, who's thinking Ashrechem? I'm thinking Yom Kippur, Ali Hashem, thinking, I'm thinking Achet, 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 I'm thinking the tears, I'm thinking, Ayvei, how did I do this sin? And the guilt and the shame, Rabbi Akiva comes along and says, in the middle of Yom Kippur, when you're clapping Achet, and you're saying, Ayvei, I'm such a terrible person, and Hashem, please forgive me, what's going to be with me? Oh, you should break out with a smile, Ashrechem Yisrael, what a gevaldige gift. Why, this is Rabbi Akiva, this is Sachok Abach at the same time. You could meet Mamash frozen in fear and utter trepidation, and it's not a seer. At the same time, the Yid says, Hashem, I'm so afraid, what's going to be? Am I going to make it through this year? And at the same time, Hashem, thank you so much for the greatest of gifts. This is Mamash Akiva Masachek at the same time that he rends his garments. It's all in the Zelbazam. It's Dafka Rabbi Akiva. He's the one in Brachas HaMachalaf Amad Beis when he's enduring the most painful Misa of all the Asuru Gemalchus, the slow, gradual Masreka Shabazo scraping off his flesh when he's alive. He's thinking, what? Shema Yisrael Shabazo Shabazo. He's Mamash Mimakamo Chashmaim with a Simcha Yisera, with a Gemali Yisimcha at the same moment that he had to be feeling the physical pain. Yes, the Arizal talks that if you're holding on such a Madrega of Devekas, it's Kilo, he wasn't even feeling the pain. Rabbi Kiva was holding him, he wasn't even feeling the pain. He was so Dabak to the Ribbono Shalom. Many cases of the Chazanish, of Rav Chaim Ozer, of Rashach, they had surgeries they didn't want to take, go under general anesthesia, and they're being cut into, and the thing and they mamash aren't margish to pain, they don't feel the pain. And Mana, there's something. But it's not a stira. Even if they would feel something, they can experience both emotions simultaneously. That's Rabbi Akiva Bedafka. That's what he taught us. And that's what he continues to teach us. And that's the ultimate Nechama. That's the Akiva Nechamtanu. Akiva Nechamtanu. A Nechama through our tragedy, and a Nechama by turning our perspective into realizing that even the Tzion Tzadik Techoresh is representing a new beginning, a new Haschalah. And we can only rebuild because we hit the rock bottom. Now we can start a new clean slate. That's Dafka Rabbi Akiva. So thus we have tears. Bocho sifka alila nibuchia eni eni or demayim. The tears are constantly being shed. But what are tears? We know that the same tears can be tears of sadness, can be tears of joy. Within tears themselves, what do we have? We have salt. We have salt. The water, the tears are filled with salt. And what is the idea of salt? Salt itself represents this very stira. Salt, we know, is NaCl on the periodic table. Is NaCl sodium chloride? That's what salt is. Sodium and chloride are two elements that independently are destructive, can destroy things. But when they merge, when there's a synthesis that ensues, it becomes salt. And what does salt do rather than destroying? Salt preserves life. You go into the Dead Sea, it's mamash the Dead Sea, and it's the salt in the Dead Sea that keeps you alive. It's the salt that keeps, even though you put salt into a person's wound, that it adds to pain. At the same time, the very salt, which is capable of utter destruction, we have more positive uses from salt. We mentioned the Handy Science Answer Book. We have over 13,000 different uses of salt. We can use salt, that which is capable of destroying, that which Sodom and Amora turned into. You can't build, you can't produce. Yes, it's representative of utter destruction and desolation. And at the same time, it comes to preserve life. It comes to preserve our meat. We can only eat meat and preserve the meat when we put salt into the meat. And we can stay afloat in a yam where human beings can't live, where we would drown in the sea. The salt in the Dead Sea comes and it preserves life. And it keeps us afloat. That's the melach. That's the salt and tears. You can have salt and tears because the very same tears can be tears of sadness or tears of joy, and sometimes they can be mixed at the same time. You can have somebody crying and laughing at the same time. That was Mamash Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva and Avodah Zarah Dabchav. It's Rabbi Akiva Makas Chavdalet. You can cry, and that's Mamash what salt is all about. Salt is, you can't build anew in salt, and yet salt is what keeps you alive. We mentioned, working back now to Rav Chanan's mashal, we produce sometimes, we went into the ovens, and what came out, a beautiful challah. And we know we bring the challah to the table, and we mentioned in the past the Siddur Arizal. We know the Magen Avraham writes in Achos Shabbos that there's an inyan, we dip the Lechem Mishnah into the pas. We dip the Lechem Mishnah into the pas. Why? To be mamtik the gevuras, to sweeten the gevuras. We're getting hit from all sides. And we're mamash seeing the gevura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the din in the gevura. We want to sweeten it by salt. You want to sweeten it by salt? What do you mean? Put salt into the wounds. It doesn't stem with the famous phrase, put salt into the wound. When you put salt into, you worsen it. And over here, we're going to dip the bread into the melach, into the salt. Salt, it exacerbates the wound. And instead over here, it's coming to sweeten. It's coming to sweeten the gemara. So what's the idea? We mentioned the Siddur Arizal. Melech is Gematria 78. Shem Havaya Yudke Vovke is Midas Sarachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you want to hammer home Midas Sarachmim, three times is a chazaka. Writes the Arizal. Havaya Yudke Vovke yields Gematria 26. 26 plus 26 plus 26 is Gematria 78, Gematria Melech. Zok the Arizal, that's the idea of Pisod, that we're mounting the Gevuras. You take the bread. You take the bread, which is Lechem. Interesting, Lechem is Osios Melech. To complete the Lechem, Lamed Ches Mem, we need to dip it into the Melech, Mem Lamed Ches. To sweeten up the bread, we need what? We need the salt. The salt is Gematria 78. Gematria writes the Arizal Havaya, alluding to Midas HaRachmim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rachmim three times over and over, getting hit with Rachmim, is Gematria Melech. We dip the bread into the salt, the Lechem, into the Osios Melech, and that's Mamtik, that sweetens the Gevuros, that's Midas HaRachmim, Midas HaRachmim, Midas HaRachmim. Tishmov is the greatest moed, not just because of what it will be, but because Hashem took His anger out on the stones, on the Avonim. And Hashem says, now you guys are forgiven. You did the sins, and I vented all my anger, and I want you to know, Tishmov represents, you have a clean slate. When? Davka and Mincha time. We say, we're going to put tefillin back on, we're going to don our per chacham shalecha, because now is when the fire, now is the ikar avelis, the fire is burning the mizvah, ha-gufa. If there's something, some infrastructure, some vestige, some remnant that remains, we don't know that Hashem fully gave us a clean slate. We don't know that we're ready to rebuild anew. But once Hashem sent on the fires, and he destroyed every last remnant of the Beis HaMikdash. Tama Vonech, now our sins are cleansed the Gamri. That's a purging process, and that's what fire is. When you throw something into fire, what does it do? It purges the gold, the silver of all impurities, and becomes Zach V'Naki. That's what a fire does. Only when Hashem sent the fire can we rest assured that we're ready to begin anew. Writes Rabbi Yitzchak Eisenchaber in his Rosh Siach Yitzchak. To become Avraham Avinu and to start out Klal Yisrael, what's the first nisayon of Avraham Avinu? Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Mishnah Gimel. Ba'asor nisayon sasas Avraham Avinu. Writes Rabbi Yonah, what was the first test? Kivshan Aish. Kivshan Aish? He was put into a fire. I said, why is it not mentioned in the Torah? Yes, we have a remez or kastim. Rambam even says, because it's not mentioned in the Torah, he doesn't even list it as the first of the test. He calls lech lecha. Test number one. What's kivshan aish? You know why? Because it wasn't a test like the others. Explains Rav Yitzchak Eisenchaber, it was a cleansing process. Before you can start creating a new Avraham Avinu, before you can start creating the first of the patriarchs, the first illustrious personality in the patriarchal line, the first thing you have to do is destroy the Avraham of old. You have to get rid of all the impurity of a terach, of a masle bas carnival that was infused into an Avraham. You have to undergo a purging process. How do you purge? When you throw something at the fire. Fire cleanses it of all impurities. Avraham Avinu had to be cast into a fire. Explains Rabbi Yitzchak Eisenchaber. That's Kivshan Aish. Once the Avraham Avinu of old was cast into the fiery furnace, all the sumama and all the tumah and all the klipas, all the impurities, it was burnt away, and he came out. He was a bria chadasha mamish. He's a new person. That's not an nisayon. That's destroying the Avraham Avinu of old, and now he's ready to become the Avraham Avinu of lech lecha leave, and now go to Eretz Yisrael. That's the way we head to Eretz Yisrael. We can only begin a journey towards Eretz Yisrael, towards Yerushalayim HaKodesh, towards rebuilding Abaya Shlishi, once we're destroying all the Tumah and all the Averis of old. That is Tam Avonech. That's what Tisha B'Av is all about. Tisha B'Av is, we got cleansed. We got Zach V'Naki. Everything that we had, that we coveted, that we yearned for, was destroyed before our very own eyes. But that simultaneously highlights our sins are forgiven. We've destroyed the people we used to be, and now we're ready to begin anew. That's what a Tisha B'Av is all about. And the saddest day of the year is also referred to as what? As Tisha, the Yeshua B'Av. That's the Yeshua in the month of Av. This is the day of the Yeshua. Tisha, Loshen Yeshua. This is the saddest, most tragic day of the year. It's not a day of Yeshua. I know this is a day of Yeshua. Because we're cleansed. And the things that you want most in life, you can only get there Derech Yisurin. Olam Haba, the Torah and Eretz Yisrael, Brochas Tachayim and Aleph, are all three nicknames Al Yedei Yisurin. Nemar Bris V'Melech, Menemar Bris V'Yisurin. Mamelech M'masek Es Asabosar, Af Yisurin M'markin Es Besor Shel Adam, Brochas Tachayim and Aleph. We underwent the cleansing process. We shed the tears that were replete with salt. And now what? It's those same tears of salt, and that kept us afloat, that kept us alive. The same tears that represented Bocho Sifka, Aleila Nibuchia, Eni Yer Yermayim, on the same tears that kept us alive, because what? We recognize this was the Karolai Moed. Because it's a Moed, because of our tears, now and only now am I ready to cry. If I'm just crying for the tragedy, I don't want to cry. But if I'm crying knowing full well that my tears is what's allowing it to be a Moed, now that it's a Moed, Aliyah, now I'm going to cry. And I never want to stop crying. Because as long as I'm crying, there's something to cry about. Now I know that we've hit rock bottom and I'm ready to rebuild. And Met Hashem, this Tisha B'Av will be Taka Yeshua. And the month of Av, this is the day Mashiach is born. This is the day that will become the greatest Moed. We'll have the Yeshua and the Nechama with Bias Kol Tzedek, Meira V'Yameinu, Amen. And a meaningful and uplifting and inspiring 9 days leading up to a Tisha B'Av in Yerushalayim HaKadosh, Meira V'Yameinu.